Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning, thankful for this opportunity to hear from you. My prayer, Heavenly Father, is that the Holy Spirit would touch the hearts of each of these five, Father God, as they share your word. But I pray also for us in the congregation that we have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, dear Lord God. Minister to us, Heavenly Father. Holy Spirit, have your way. Yes. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor Todd.
Hallelujah. All right, now I can get down to teaching. I have 5 minutes, so this is going to be quick, and you'll get a lot more next Sunday, but hallelujah. Amen. How many of y'all can say deeper?
Deeper.
Deeper. All right. Now, for me to not have notes, Pastor knows it's a miracle. One day I shot him my sermon, and he was like, son, what do you want to say? So for me to be up here with no notes is amazing. But I know that this is the only way that I can do this one. All right. Now, I prayed to God. Everything's cool. Don't worry. I haven't lost my mind. Okay. So you'll see what I'm talking about in a minute. Now, how many young people we have in here? Okay. Some of y'all need to put your hands down. Some of y'all need to put your hands down. Put your hands down. All right. Hallelujah. Say we young at heart. We young at heart. Take some of the bass out of this because it's just all bass. Take some of the bass. Okay, we young at heart, right? Amen? All right. But young people, you know what I'm talking about if I say, okay, now I didn't pray about this, so just know. My anaconda don't. Oh, see, y'all, see. All right, see. Oh, yeah, y'all know. Okay, she was like, oh, yeah. Oh, there's a couple young people that know. Okay, this is how Satan works. Let me prove it to you. And I know, like, we as adults, we go, oh. You know, it's just this music. You know, and you know, it's the music of today. It's the music of today. No, it was the music of yesterday, too. Amen. I mean, this house, he doesn't come all in a rush. He comes just a little bit at a time. Because if he came out like, I'm Satan, ha, 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 you know, that ain't going to work. You know, we'd be like, oh, shut up, man, and we walk away. But that's not how Satan works, and we have to be very intentional about everything that we do. Check this out. Now, y'all can do this with me. This one's safe. All right, this one's safe. Say, hip, hop, hippie, hippity, hip, hip, a hopper. You don't stop a rocket to the bang, bang. Say, ump, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogity beat. That's it. Okay, see, y'all old. That's old. Y'all old. All right. What about this part? I am Wonder Mike, and I came to say hello to, oh, y'all know, see, stop. Okay, I say stop. All right. Let's do one. Have you ever been over to your friend's house to eat, and the food just ain't no good? The macaroni soggy, the peas are mushed, and the chicken tastes like, okay, stop. All right. Now, all of that is cool. I mean, I was in the car with my kid. I mean, he's 26 now, and I was in the car banging that with my kid. You know, I was in the, but then here's another part. Let's go a little deeper. Everybody say deeper. All right. Hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. Now, if your girl okay, stop. I only got 5 minutes. Stop playing. All right, let's do it again. All right, hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. Now, if your girl starts acting up, then you... That's the song. Did you see how easy that got into us? The rest of the song was cool, but then you take her friend. Wait a minute, you shouldn't even be taking your girl to the hotel. You see what I'm saying? Hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. If your girl starts acting up, just take a friend. What about this one? I got a meeting in the ladies' room. Dun, dun, dun. I'll be back real soon. What is that song about? Fighting. Going in the bathroom because she's trying to take your man. But we were all singing that song. Hey, I got a meeting. The girls be like, ooh, ooh. Girls was in the club talking about, you know, hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. Girls up in there. Aye. What is that, people? That is not intentional. Let me tell you what blessed me, and I'm going to go further into this next Sunday. But I've exiled myself. This isn't what blessed me for about 3.5 years. Everybody say church hurt. I went through church hurt. We all do, even pastors, amen? We church people, we can hurt each other. We're not supposed to, but we do. That's why I publicly, you know, apologize to her, because that should not happen. It happens when you make a mistake, you apologize. But you need to be intentional about your relationships, amen? All of them. I had to just cut most of them. Good people had to cut it. Pastor Dwayne came up to me. Pastor, I'm proclaiming in the name of Jesus. And he came up to me and he said, Todd, I need new friends. Would you be my friend? Last Sunday. I said, yes. Yes, hallelujah, yes. Amen. And that's what we need to do, is be intentional. Next week, I'll give you a whole lot more. Amen.
Recording. So anyway, we're talking about deeper. Have you ever stood at the water's edge at the beach? You wanted to go deeper, but you couldn't. God wants to take us deeper. And I'm going to Ezekiel 47, starting at verse 3. There's a divine guide. The Holy Spirit, I would like to think, was guiding Ezekiel to a body of water. This was after the temple was rebuilt. And when the man had the line in his hand, this is what the verse says, he went forth eastward. He measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the waters. The waters were ankle deep. Well, God wants to take us deeper. When the water is at your ankles at the beach, you can stand and you can feel the sand. It feels like you're going to go deeper, right? It feels like it's taking you deeper because the sand is moving, but you don't go anywhere. But it's his word, you guys. It's his word. I want you to say, we must stay in his word. He wants to take us deeper, but we're not sure that it's him who's talking to us. He talks to us all day, though. We just have to be able to hear. We're like Doubting Thomas, who had to see the holes in his hands and in his feet. But those represented suffering and pain and death. And that's as far as we go. We don't go beyond the suffering, the pain, and the death. Instead of us praying and praising God and trusting him daily, we wait until something happens. And then we're on our knees early in the morning. We start looking for scripture about healing, restoration, direction. Oh, yes, we want some help then. Oh, we can really get serious about the things of God then. But we haven't gotten past the suffering. We're still ankle deep. As 2 Timothy said, 3:5, he said, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Let go. Let's go deeper. So the divine guide takes Ezekiel to the waters where he's gone deeper. Ezekiel 47:4 says that he is now knee deep in the water. And so when the water is knee deep at the beach, you have to struggle to walk and maintain your balance. Many times a wave of despair, worry, your past, distrust, depression, resentment knocks you right back down and you become weary in well-doing. We become like that seed in Luke 8:6. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for lack of moisture. The wave hits you, and you fall back down, and you end up back in ankle-deep water. Ezekiel was able to pass through the knee-deep water because Ezekiel was being guided. He could hear the voice of God, and the water got deeper up to his waistline. Now here, you're a lot more stable. You're beginning to walk by faith and not by sight. Your mind is being renewed. You're being blessed, and you realize it. So you cry out like David and say, I will bless you at all times. Your praise will continually be in my mouth. And in that same chapter, Psalm 34:6, he said, this poor woman cried, and the Lord heard her and saved her out of all her troubles. You know that for sure without a shadow of a doubt, because you've gone deeper. You're at the waist now. The wave can't knock you down so easily, because you present your body as a living sacrifice. You begin to walk in the things of God. You begin to be that light and that salt that God said that you are. And you begin to see yourself as God sees you. You're walking steady now. Then the divine guide takes Ezekiel deeper in verse 5, chapter 47, verse 5. The water is now over his head, and now he can't walk. You can't even feel the bottom because now you're allowing God to keep you in his mighty hand. Now you can stay afloat because you have totally surrendered to God. You acknowledge that he is the way, the truth, and the light. You are no longer doubting, but you're trusting. You know that if you abide in him and your word, his word abides in you, whatever you ask for, he will give it to you. You know that where to look up when trouble comes. You look up to the hills from whence cometh your help. Help comes from God. So now you're swimming in that same life-giving water that Jesus ministered to the Samaritan woman at the well, springing up with everlasting life. So now you trust. Isaiah 35 and 10 says, and the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy. Upon their heads they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. You now are like Joshua 1:1-8, who said, this book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, to observe, to do according to all that is written in that. And if you do that, he said, then I will make your way prosperous. Then you will see good success. So I'm urging you, brothers and sisters, jump in the water. It feels real good.
God bless you. Lord, make me relevant right now, Father God. Make me relevant, Father God. Our theme is deeper. That time runs real fast. Pastor, I thank you for giving me 10 minutes because I'm your favorite. So I'll try to get through this. Thank you, Pastor. I'm his favorite, Tim. And that's my best friend. The time is far spent. And I have a lot of scriptures, so I'm just going to have to just read a little bit of it. Okay, we're coming from Job 1. It said, there once was a man named Job who lived in the land of Oz. He was blameless, a man of complete integrity. He feared God and stayed away from evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 teams of oxen, and 500 female donkeys. He also had many servants. He was, in fact, the richest man in the entire area. Verse 7 says, where have you come from? And this is God talking, the Lord talking to Satan. He said, where have you come from? And Satan said, I've been walking to and fro trying to find out who can I devour, trying to see what everybody is doing. And so he said, well, you know what? Have you considered my servant, Job? And so my title is, how do you go deeper in Christ when all hell breaks out? So my first point, because the time is far spent, it says, how do you go deeper when all hell breaks out? First, you have to be rooted. Colossians 2:6 said, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. 7 says, let your roots grow deep into him and let him live in you. Let his life be built in you. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. You have to allow God to get deep into your roots. You have to get into the word of God. You have to study the word of God. You have to change old ways. Old things have to be passed away. All things have to become new. Like Pastor always states to us, he said, you have to be sown on good ground. We don't want you to be blown away when a wind comes. When that smooth man comes to you and talks to you, we don't want you to lose your faith in God. We want you to be rooted and grounded in the word of God. That's how you stay rooted in the word of God. My second point is, how do you go deeper when all hell breaks out? You have to cut off dead weight. You have to cut off dead weight. It says, John 15:1, I am the true, grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. 2:2 says, he cut off every branch in mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he pruneth the branches that do bear fruit so they will prosper and produce more. And that's what God wants us to do. We need to cut away old friends. We need to cut away bad habits. We need to cut out things that we used to do. We need to cut out going to the hotel with somebody that's not our wife. We need to stop backbiting. We need to stop cursing. We need to stop lying. We need to be faithful in God. We need to be rooted in the Word of God and make sure that things that we used to do, we don't do anymore. We need to be true to God. We need to be true to ourselves and allow God to lead our lives. We need to also begin to just stay rooted and grounded in Him. What do you do? And my third point is, what is the reward for being rooted and separated when all hell breaks out? Matthew 19:27 says, and I'm just going to read this. Then Peter said to him, "We have given up everything to follow you. What will we get? And Jesus replied, "I assure you that when the world is made new and the Son of Man sets upon his glorious throne, you who have been my followers will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and everyone who has given up his house, his brother, his sister, his father, his mother, his children, his property for my name's sake will receive 100 times over. So we just thank God. God will give you double for your trouble. God bless you.
Amen, amen. God will give you double for your trouble. My. Forgive my big laptop, but my iPad went out, okay? So I'm going to have to make this work. Amen. Leave me alone. What I want to just say to you, if I had to take a survey of everybody in this room, you all have a story. You all have a story to tell. Whether it's a good story, whether it's a bad story, but it's a story that led you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been through some things. You may have went through a divorce, or you may have lost some houses, but whatever that was, it developed you to a point, and it took you to a place where you had to come into a relationship with God. So you said, you know, "God, I surrender. I give it all to you." But the problem with that is you have some haters. And they only see the part of your story, which is called a meta-narrative, which is the outside sources of events that are outlined in your life. It is the experience of decisions that you have made in life that purposely or humbly shape your life where you are today. A meta-narrative is the elective accounts, events that are usually incomplete. Those who do not understand your story think with a carnal mind, and they can only interpret your pain. A carnal mind will only hinder your growth if you allow it to speak into your life. So we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, where it has been written, Paul writes this letter to the Corinthian church because there's a church that's in the city of Greece that is dealing with a whole lot of immorality and a whole lot of sin. But it's funny how God tells Paul, and he tells him to plant a church in the midst of all of that mess. So here we are, Paul planted the church, and later he has to write a letter to the Christians, to the believers who are in that church, to remind them that no matter where you are and what you do, you are still a child of God, and you cannot let your naysayers determine where you're going. 1 Corinthians 2, chapter 9 says, "Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard. I think that's a good place to shout. Because, see, your carnal folks who like to talk about you don't understand where God is trying to take you. So then it says, not have he entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. How many in here love the Lord? Amen. So then we go into 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. This is where it gets really good, and this is where we're going to find the Trinity is about to take place and turn some things around. So we see the Father God, and then we're going to see Jesus, who is at the right hand of the Father, holding intercession for us. But then we have the Holy Spirit is about to change things around for us. So here we go. God says, but God has revealed, I'm sorry, Paul says, God has revealed them, the things to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The deep things of God only can be revealed by the Spirit. So how many of you have the Spirit of God living within you? This is the reason why your naysayers can't even talk to you. This is the reason why your naysayers can't even judge you, because you have the Spirit of God living in you. And the only way they would understand what you are going through is they have to connect with the Spirit. So don't allow people to speak in your life that don't have any control over the Spirit of God. The authority of God has the final say-so in your life. So here's the thing. If you want to go deeper in God, there are some things you must do. First, Matthew says 6:33 that you must seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. Amen. The other thing is you want to make sure if you want to go deeper in God, you can't allow folks who don't even know God speak into your life. So don't go to your girlfriend, want to ask her about your husband's situation. You have the power of God in you. You can go straight to the Father. So here's the thing. Stop talking to folks don't have no business dealing with you. Here's the thing. You can walk in the confidence in God and say, look, the Spirit of God lives in me. So therefore, I will go to my Father to get all that I need. So, okay. So that's I got about 4 minutes and I'm done. So here's the thing. 4 seconds, I'm done. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm old school. I don't have no device. If you want to hook a sister up, see me in the 4A. Praise God. Just want to read something that I was on Facebook and I saw the other day, and I want to share this with you. It says, your greatest test will be how well you handle people that mishandle you. Your greatest test. So today, it's elevation time. It's test time. It's time that we pass the test. It's time that we move past our boo thing and what he did to us. It's time that we move past our baby daddy drama. It's time that we pass about my girlfriend, what she did and didn't do. My boss, what he said, he didn't promote me. He gave somebody else the job. It's elevation time. So how do you pass the test? You know, when you were in school, you had to take a test to get a grade. The more answers you got right, the higher your grade was. So the more your grades, the higher your grades got, determined if you were going to be promoted to the next level. Some of us didn't get promoted to the next level because we didn't pass the test. So therefore, we had to repeat seventh grade again because we didn't pass the test. Whew, some of us still must pass the test. In order to pass the test, we have to do away with what the world does today. We cannot be a part of the clap back ministry. Clap back, because what you say, you go, we cannot be a part of the clapback ministry as believers if we're going to pass the test. Because you made me mad, because you did something to hurt my feelings, I cannot be ready to get back at you, even though I want to. Woo! Even though I'm feeling it all down in me. Even though I want to tell you a few words or so, I can't clap back at you. I don't have a whole lot of time, but I'm going to tell you how to pass the test. There's a Jesus ministry going around. And some of us might not try to be in the Jesus ministry when we are mishandled and when we're done wrong. But in order to pass the test, we got to participate in the Jesus ministry. So what is the Jesus ministry? Woo! Do you want to be elevated? I'm going to see, because some of us think we're deeper than what we really are. The test of how deep you are is not by how you read the word or by how you hear the word. You demonstrate how deep you are by being a doer of the word. How many doers of the word do we have? Hallelujah. I don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to tell you right now, you're not ready for it. You don't want it. You want to keep clapping back. But I want you to be a part of the Jesus ministry, because you need to be elevated, because the world is waiting on you. Woo! There's something in you that the world is waiting on. So Matthew 5:44 tells you, woo, you're not ready for it. You're not ready, you're not ready, you're not ready. It tells you how to be elevated and to go deeper in your relationships and how you handle people. It's called the Love, Bless, Good, Pray ministry. Matthew 5:44 says, but I say unto you, this is Jesus talking. He was teaching his disciples, and he was teaching them a whole lot of things. And then he got to relationships, because he was saying to them, the world says that you love your neighbor and you hate your enemies. But he said, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you. Woo! Pray for them which despise will use you and persecute you. So come on now. Now, see, you done got quiet on me. When I was talking about the clapback ministry, you was with me. Woo! Now we're talking about the Jesus ministry. We're going to love our enemies. We're going to bless them that curse us. We're going to do good to them that hate us. We're going to pray for them that despise will use us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bow your heads, please. Father God, we thank you for your word. And my prayer is always, dear Lord God, that today your word was sown on good ground, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we all here have ears to hear what your spirit is saying.